Good morning, church. Do me a favor, look at a neighbor and say, I am glad that you are here. Now look at somebody new and say, God loves you. And there is nothing you can do about it. That's right. Thank you, friends. You may be seated. You may be seated. Welcome. Welcome to worship this morning. My name is Jeff Nelson. I'm the pastor here at Royal Oak First United Methodist Church, and I just want to welcome each and every one of you to worship here with us this morning. In just a couple of moments, our ushers are going to be coming down with their ritual of friendship pad. They're going to be passing those among you so you can record your attendance with us today. Would you pass that down the row? And then when it gets to this end, pass it back to the center. And as it comes back down the row, take a look and see who's seated by you today. And if you don't know that person, make sure you get a chance to introduce yourself at the close of the worship service. If you're visiting with us for the first time today, we are especially glad that you are with us today. We got a gift for all of our first-time visitors. It's a welcome bag. In this welcome bag, it's a swag bag, right? We got swag in here. Swag is stuff other people get, right? You know? So come and get your swag bag on the way out today. We've got our very own Royal Oak First Living Water. Right? You know, along with some information about the life of the church. You can get that at the welcome kiosk on your way out this morning. But please make sure if you're new with us today, we want to send you home with an appreciation for your time with us here this morning. As always, we've got more announcements going on in the life of the church than we can handle at any one announcement period, but I always like to highlight just a couple of things for you. This afternoon, if you are want to come over to my house, you're invited. Everybody's invited, but especially those of you who are like new to the party, right? You've been hanging out here at Royal Oak First for a little bit and you want to find out more about it. We want to find more out about you. This afternoon, 2 o'clock at Pastor Jeff and Bridget's house, 3113 Marion, right here in Royal Oak. I want to invite you to come and be a part of that. So this afternoon, please come. Next Sunday, something really cool happening here at that's actually in a couple Saturdays. I got the wrong slide there. This Saturday, the power of personal prayer. Saturday, March 25th, 11 to 2, we're going to be showing the movie The War Room. And we want you to come and be a part of that. The War Room is a movie about the power of personal prayer. So come that afternoon. The movie will be shown here. There will be food. There will be popcorn. There will be childcare. All of those kinds of things. And that's with our seminary intern, Renee McCarge. Renee, stand up. Raise your hands so everybody can see you. Yes, yes, yes. Renee. Hey, Wendell, how you doing, brother? Renee will be downstairs today to get your information if you want to find out some more things about that. What do we got next here? Yes, we are in the middle of Lent, and I want you to put this date on your calendar. I want to fill the house to standing room only, if possible, for Sunday, April the 2nd. We are going to have an everybody come Lenten dinner extravaganza. And we have a special guest coming that night to be a part of it. It is our brand new bishop. Bishop David Bard will be our welcome guest that time. And I think it's only his second or third appearance here on the district. And he chose to come here. He wants to come here because he's heard about what's happening here. He heard about a church that's reinventing itself through its building and through its people and through its mission and its program. And he wants to come and see what's going on here so that he can go out into the rest of the conference and tell the good news of what's happening. So fill this place. We're going to eat good food. We're going to hear good music. And we're going to have a good time together. There'll be a special program for our kids that night. Dinner is $10. Only $10. I know, right? We're like giving it away, right? $10 for dinner and $30 per family. So sign up in the fellowship hall and let us know that you're coming. We are really, really excited about our Lenten dinner. Speaking of Lent, we have a Lenten blessing offering that we've been asked to help make for one of our ministry partners. The Brightmoor Free Store, in the middle of the Brightmoor neighborhood of Detroit. Anybody know where the Brightmoor neighborhood is? Been there, seen that, right? Brightmoor is at 96 and West Outer Drive in the city of Detroit. It's one of our most economically stretched communities. Poverty rate there is well over 60%. Homeless rate there is, or the vacant homes are about 70%. In the middle of that is a United Methodist Church that said, let's change our building into a free store. Right there in the middle of that community is the only retail. It's a gently used clothing store and household good items. But like any good country store, it's not about the clothes they give away. It's about the relationships that people make when they come to the store together. They've asked us to help them get three things in order to make this Easter real for the people of that neighborhood. And I asked them, I said, what are the three things you need the most? What are the three things nobody else collects for you? Royal Oak First likes to do the challenging stuff. They like to do the stuff that nobody else is doing. So they said, the first thing we need is nobody volunteers to collect underwear. I said, we're the underwear church. We got it. We got the underwear covered. We can do that, right? Underwear. And if you think about it, most of these folks don't have washing machines, so a clean pair of underwear goes literally a long way. So we need 500 pairs of underwear, men's, women, and children underwear. New. New. Let me just say that again. New underwear. New. Make sure that's out there, right? The second thing that they said they could use is personal care, hygiene items, toothpaste, soap, shampoo, deodorant, feminine hygiene products. Bring those in. Fill them up. You can see the word's already gotten out. We got a mound of stuff going over here. We need 500 personal hygiene items. And I said, and they said, there's one other thing that you wouldn't believe that we have a hard time getting, and that's children's clothing. He said, we got more adult clothing than we know what to do with, but children's clothes is hard to get, and when we get it, it's out the door as soon as we get it. Could you get us 500 new or gently used pieces of children's clothing? My good friend Myra Moreland's going to challenge her small group to say she's sponsoring a piece of clothing for each of her grandkids. If you got grandkids, would you buy a piece of clothing for your grandkids and bring them here? Knowing that they'll go to a kid in our neighborhood and community who will need it. By the time Easter comes, I want 1,500 blessings, 500 underwear, 500 hygiene products, and 500 pieces of children's clothing. Can we do it?
Yes,
yes, we can do it. Yeah, I like that. Yes, we can do it. Finally, I got one last introduction I want to make. I want to invite Caroline Scott to come on up here with Royal Oak First's cutest member of the church. And that's not Caroline, but she is cute too. Hey, come on up, everybody. This is Caroline and Isaac. Would you welcome them? Isaac came to us at Royal Oak First when he was about 10 days old. He's got a call. Caroline has been on the list of being a foster care mom for lots and lots of years, and she got this call that there was this young man that needed a home. And so he came and visited us on his 10th day birthday. And he's been a part of our life and our community ever since. We are continuing to pray that it looks like, you know, we're moving towards possibly that Isaac's going to probably grow up here with us. And that's our long-term prayer. What Caroline is teaching us is what it means to be a family that cares for and supports foster parents. Foster parenting can be one of those key things that people can offer as a gift and skill. And what Caroline has reminded us is... you know, she's a single mom caring for this baby, and she needs some help. One of the things that she needs help with is some extra hands who would be willing to hold this baby from time to time, who would be willing to babysit from time to time. When you're in foster care, it takes a little extra in order to get on the list of people that she can leave this baby with. So if you would be willing to be a child care provider for little baby Isaac, to be on a list of people Caroline could call from time to time to come and sit on the weekend or come over midweek or even here at church, just somebody else who would hold him and care for him, downstairs at the fellowship hall today at our Here I Am Lord table, Caroline and Isaac will be there, and they'll pass out some forms that you need to fill out in order to get registered to be on her support list. That's one of the things I had no idea that foster care families need, is a list of people who have been approved by the court system in order to care for this child. Anyone like holding babies? Yes. All right, you're going to have no problems here, right? Guys, would you thank Caroline for that ministry, and see her down at the Here I Am Lord table today as we do that ministry. It's not on the screen, but next Sunday is the Rudder Requiem. Check that out. You don't want to miss it. Be here at 4 o'clock next Sunday for an incredible choir presentation. They'll be performing at 11, but you're going to see the whole thing next week at 4. It's a free concert. It's amazing. I've been listening to it. I heard the strings yesterday. Check that out in your bulletin. Those are all the announcements I have for the good of the community.
Today's scriptures, two scriptures come to us from the book of Matthew, chapter 17, verses 1 through 6, and the book of Luke, chapter 5, verses 15 through 16. 6 days later, Jesus took Peter, James, and John, his brother, and brought them to the top of a very high mountain. He was transformed in front of them. His face shone like the sun, and his clothes became as white as light. Moses and Elijah appeared to them, talking with Jesus. Peter reacted to all this by saying to Jesus, "Lord, it's good that we are here. If you want, I'll make three shrines, one for you, one for Moses, and one for Elijah." While he was still speaking, look, a bright cloud overshadowed them. A voice from the cloud said, "This is my son, whom I dearly love. I am very pleased with him. Listen to him." Hearing this, the disciples fell on their faces, filled with awe. News of him spread even more, and huge crowds gathered to listen and to be healed from their illnesses. But Jesus would withdraw to deserted places for prayer. This is the word of the Lord for the people of God.
Thank you to God.
I listened to a TED Talk recently by a gentleman by the name of Bernie Krause. Bernie has an interesting job. He records nature sounds for TV and for movies. And he said in 1968, when he began his job, that what he would do is it would take him 15 hours of recording to get 1 hour of uninterrupted sound. Sound without airplanes or cars or voices interrupting it. And he said in 2015, to get that same 1 hour of uninterrupted time, that it would now take him 2,000 hours of recording. Between 1968, when it took 1 hour to get an hour of quiet, or took 15 hours to get an hour of quiet, to today, where it takes 2,000 hours to find that 1 hour of quiet, his contention is that we are surrounded by noise. Noise. Surrounded by noise. Can you feel the noise surrounding you, surrounding us in this place? Right, the cars, the trucks, the airplanes, the construction, the phones ringing, the texts buzzing, the radios, the television. We are surrounded by noise all of the time. I don't know if you've been hanging out at Royal Oak First at all during the week, but this is one noisy church these days. We got jackhammers hammering and sledgehammers pounding and drill bits drilling, and there's this little alarm that gets set off about 6 times a day. It's just this little drone buzz underneath everything, and it's funny because if you've been hanging out here for a while now, you don't even realize it's going on until suddenly there's just this like pound in your own head, right? And someone finally goes and shuts it off. Then I come home from a noisy church into a house with an 8-year-old and a 10-year-old, and it's just peaceful. Two words seem to come out of the mouths of my children from about 6 o'clock when I get home until about 9:30 when they go to bed, and those two words are, "Mom, Mom, Dad, Dad, Mom, Dad, Mom, Dad, Mom, Dad, Mom, Dad," all night long. I don't know about you, but I have a partner that, in the wee hours of the night, has a little noise that she likes to make to remind me that she's still breathing. Even, I know I'm going to pay for that, yeah. Even the other night, I got out of my car and I went to the gas pump and the gas pump started talking to me. Even in that couple of minutes of trying to get some quiet while filling my gas tank, the gas tank decided to tell me about the news and the weather, and then tried to sell me 2 hot dogs for a dollar. We are living in a noisy time. It feels like the noise is just elevating and elevated. It feels like people are shouting at each other or shouting to get over the noise, shouting to be heard. And so it's interesting, in the midst of all of this noise, that Jesus's word for us at the beginning of this Lenten season is listen. 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 You heard that story in the scripture this morning. We call it the story of the transfiguration. There's a lot going on in that story this morning. The disciples went up onto the mountaintop with Jesus, 3 of them. They went up there for this retreat. And in the midst of their hanging out with Jesus, there was this God moment that happened, that Jesus became fully transfigured. Something changed about him. It felt like Moses and Elijah were standing right there next to him. They were having this incredible God moment. And I can really relate to the disciples, because when Jesus kind of gets real for me, I'm like them and I want to be moved into action. Peter's like, Lord, this is awesome. We got to do something with this. We build something. We got to collect something. We got to do something with all of this great God stuff going on around us. You can hear Peter fire up the emails, get it out on Facebook. Let's get a crowd rise going. Let's do something to maximize this God moment that's happening. And right there in the middle of it, the voice from heaven comes and says, shh. Listen, this is my one. Look at him. He's going to lead you to life and to truth and to peace. But you got to listen to him. We, like those disciples on the top of that mountain, get so ready to move into action that we forget the first invitation to discipleship is to listen. Why listen? I was able to do some research this week on the importance of listening and the need for quiet and silence in order to be able to listen. And psychologist after psychologist was able to say that the importance of beginning to find moments of silence and quiet in order to be moved into the listening is so that we have space to self-reflect. It says, with all the noise, you can never figure out what's going on. Have you ever said to yourself, it is so noisy, I can't even think straight? Quiet helps us think, helps us reflect, helps us take stock of where we are and what's going on around us. This ability to listen helps us discern life's deeper meaning and what it means to be human. Psychologists today have said, at no other time in our history are we inundated with more experiences than we are today. If you're growing up in the Western world in this kind of middle-class environment where all this experience is really at a touch of a hand, we have no time to sit and reflect. I watched it the other day. I watched a group of teenagers at the Oakland Mall, right? They had their they were traveling together, about 8 of them, right? They go in packs sometimes, right? You know, and they were traveling down the thing, and all 6 of them, they were hanging out together, or 8 of them, and all of them were looking at their phones at the same time. But the miracle was that they were talking to each other and talking to their phone and punching things in. I had to wonder if there were 6 or 8 different conversations all going on at the same time. And not that there was anything wrong with that. I just wondered, at some point, when do they get a chance to reflect on all that is coming at them? Thank goodness their parents sometimes bring them to a place like this, where at least for an hour a week they get a chance to think about who they are and where they are and what kind of relationships they desire, and what kind of values they want to hold on to, and what they believe, and where they think their life is going. In the midst of this noisy world, the psychologists are clear that without some space to think, to be quiet, to listen, we'll never understand where we are in the midst of this journey. So here comes Jesus at the beginning of this journey and says, tune out the noise. Listen. I want to help you reflect. I want to help you grow. So I don't know about you, but I'm like, great, Jesus. I'm not good at listening. I am addicted to noise. Confession. I wrote this sermon on the power of listening and the need for silence with the TV on. I drive with the radio on loud, really loud. Any other loud radio drivers out there? Really, really loud. My wife doesn't even let me use her car because I'll keep the radio on so loud and she'll get in it, turn on the car, and the sound will drive her right into the back of the seat. She listens to soft rock, I listen to hard rock. It makes a difference, right? You know, pushes you right to the back of the car. In fact, I sometimes don't like the quiet at all, that I need sound, that even sometimes on the 7-minute ride from the church to my house, I have to get her on the phone just so I have someone to talk to, so I don't have to sit in the silence for those 7 minutes. Anybody else on the phone talking to the very person that they're gonna meet at the other end of that drive? Yeah, that's ridiculous, right? I don't know about you, but sometimes even at night, I gotta put headphones in to put sound into my head in order to fall asleep. Are there any other folks that like the noise, that like the sound? So I had to ask myself as I prepared for this, why do I stay away from the quiet? Why do I have a hard time with the silence? Maybe it's because I'm afraid of what I might confront there. In the silence, all you're left with is what's going on inside you. And maybe, just maybe, in the quiet, I'm afraid of what I might find there. Maybe I have to finally deal with those things in the quiet that I'd rather keep off to the side. Maybe there's those things I need to forgive in others or forgive in myself. And in the silence, they keep creeping back up. And it doesn't take long to be in my business when I am talking with you about this need or desire to go before God in prayer. And our fear about the silence with God is that so often we have been led to believe that in the quiet, God's going to say something to us or about us that we're afraid to hear. Deep down, we long to hear God say, well done, good and faithful servant, but we're afraid in the quiet we're going to hear, you screw up. You messed it up again. And so we avoid the silence. As I prepared for this sermon this week, it was amazing to me to discover just how comfortable Jesus was with the silence. Listen to just some of these scriptures that I found and discovered about his familiarity and comfort with going to the quiet. Very early in the morning, while it was still dark, Jesus got up, left the house, and went off to a solitary place. And there he prayed. Another says, despite Jesus' pleas that his miracles be kept secret, the news about him spread all the more, so the crowds of people came to hear him and to be healed of their sickness. But Jesus often withdrew to quiet places, to be alone with God, and to pray. Jesus went up onto a mountainside, it said, in another place to pray, and he spent the whole night there alone in the silence with God. Or this one, when Jesus had heard that John the Baptist, his friend and his cousin, had been murdered, he withdrew by boat to a private place in order to deal with his grief. Another one says, once when Jesus was praying in private, it was there that his disciples asked him, who do the crowds say you are? And even on the night before Jesus died, he found himself in the Garden of Gethsemane, and the scripture says that Jesus said to his disciples there, "You stay here for a minute. I need to go be by myself with God." You know, of all the attributes that I often list about Jesus that I love about him, the miracle worker, the insightful teacher, the powerful preacher, the charismatic leader, the uncompromising advocate for justice, the friend of the poor, the suffering savior, things that I have never put on that list before this week are solitude seeker and silent prayer. And yet a careful read of the scriptures makes it clear that Jesus was not afraid of the quiet. So maybe our psychologists are right. Maybe it was in these moments of silence that Jesus got clear about who he was. Maybe it was in those moments of silence and that self-reflection that Jesus was constantly reminded about who he was and what was important and what he wanted to be about. And I think at the end of the day, that's why I and I think so many people are attracted to the person of Jesus. Because in him, we meet somebody that is so clear about who he is and what's important to him. Rarely does he ever seem to be deterred from what God has called him to do, to share love and act compassionately and not count the costs. And we want to be like him so much. And we discover that he, in order to do that, needed that space to reflect and to pray and to listen and to remember. Maybe, just maybe, Jesus needed the silence in order to be Jesus. So maybe, just maybe, Jeff needs the silence in order to be Jeff. And maybe you need some quiet in order to be you. I've been your pastor for 7 months. And it has been loud and crazy. There's so much going on here that it's absolutely exciting. New people, new staff, 200 more people showing up at church. We are collecting things and feeding the poor. And we opened a beauty parlor for the homeless this week, right? What an amazing thing. All this stuff going on. Jesus, I ain't got time to be quiet. And yet, I'll tell you, if I don't start to carve out some space as your pastor, I'm not even sure where this road is taking us some days. I like where it's going. What's God need you to listen to right now? In the quiet. In the silence. What kind of space for self-reflection do you need in order to remember who you are? And what's important, and who's important. I bet everyone in here can at least think of one time in their life when the silence so overwhelmed them with sacredness that it grabbed a hold of their heart and wouldn't let go. I remember a time very clearly. I was young, in my early 20s, 23, 24 years old. Bridget and I had just moved to Detroit in order to be involved in what was supposed to be a one-year urban volunteer program to the city of Detroit. 20 years later, we're still in our one-year urban volunteer program to the city of Detroit. We came here, and it was like the Mountain of Transfiguration. We suddenly found ourselves with a group of disciples, and we were at the top of this mountain, and Jesus had revealed himself to us in a way we had never realized before, and suddenly we were engaged in all this wonderful, exciting ministry in the city. We were going places and serving and seeing things, and we were excited and full of all this noise. I was just like Peter in the story. We got to do this, and we got to do that. I was convinced that by the end of the year, we would have solved all of Detroit's problems. All they were waiting for was for me to show up. In the brilliance of the program that brought us here, they knew that unless they gave these young, full disciples a chance to reflect, they would never figure out who they were in the midst of all of the noise. So every quarter, they'd pull us out of the city and they'd drop us out in the middle of the woods in order to listen. And that very first retreat, that first fall in Cassopolis, Michigan, there we sat at a lake, and it was eight of us, young missionaries, so full of what God was doing with us. And we sat on a dock by a lake, and the stars were everywhere. I don't think I had seen stars in 3 months. And the eight of us laid on that dock and didn't say a word for what felt like days. And I think, as I reflect back on it, it's that moment on the dock in the midst of all that was going on around me that I began to understand what was going on inside me. And in some ways, it was on that dock 20 years ago that the seeds for who I am today got firmly planted in me. I needed the silence to remember and to listen. So I'm inviting you into this season of Lent. And we're going to change the pace here. And we're going to listen and try to slow down just a little bit. In your Lenten brochure, we added more activities, but if you look carefully, every single one of the activities this month is to give you a chance to listen. Starting this Tuesday, this chancel area is going to be clear, and there's going to be a labyrinth on here. There's a whole talk about it on the back of your bulletin, along with a picture about what a labyrinth is. Would you come this Tuesday and walk it and slow down and listen? It's going to be here all day. Take 10 minutes, take 20 minutes, take all day to walk it. It'll be here for you. In a couple weeks, we'll have a moment to come and listen to Scripture speak to you, teach you how to learn how to listen to God in Scripture. We're going to do a Taizé service, which is all about listening. Will you find a place to come and listen? Turn off the radio on the ride home at least once this week. The Nelsons are trying a Lenten practice called Amish Hour. 1 hour before bed, all the electronics go off. And guess what we're going to do that hour? Talk to each other. Maybe play a board game. We still have those. Maybe even read a book. Find a discipline to bring you into some quiet space this season so that you can listen to God in your midst. We end our service here today at the beginning of this Lent with an invitation to come to the table. Today I'm going to invite you to come into that quiet space and receive it quietly. And realize that God is in it. You got nothing to be afraid of. Because if you're quiet enough, what you really hear is God loves you. And there's nothing you can do about that. So I invite you to this table, into the loving embrace of a God who will guide us on this journey. The screens are going to help us move into this silent with communion. And then I'll give you a few more instructions on how to join us. Thank you.